Everyone, welcome to our village board meeting. Would you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome on this beautiful day. We'll call our meeting to order. Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Sampson.
Here.
Do I have a motion to modify or adopt the agenda as presented? Trustee Harris.
Move to adopt.
Thank you. Seconded by Trustee Genrich. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Announcements. Last week, the Village of Alloway received a $6,000 grant from the Green Bay Packer Foundation to help us build some pickleball courts here in the village next year. 160 some organizations split about $1 million for the Packers, and myself and Chris, our director of parks, were in attendance, and some special groups were sharing in that $1 million. A lot of good people doing a lot of great things in our community, and we are extremely thankful to the Packer Foundation for helping us create and promote healthy lifestyles. So next year, we all get to play pickleball in Alloway. Another announcement last night, if anyone missed it, there was a great Christmas concert at the Widener put on by the Alloway Village Band. Who all went? All right. It was a tremendous concert. We are very lucky to have an organization like that representing our village. They did a tremendous job. So next year, I encourage you to go. Their next concert is in February 3rd, Thursday, I believe, of February. And that'll be at the Meyer Theater. Free concert. Any other announcements from my fellow trustees? Any announcements from staff? Hearing none, we will move on to agenda item number 4. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Village of Alloway Bike Ped Committee. I'd like to ask that at the next meeting that an audit of the TID district with regards to the Old Chapel Hill TID project and the reconstruction of West St. Joseph Street be added to the agenda by Mr. Rafter. The reason being is that the budget for the road reconstruction went somewhere around $500,000 over budget due to a last-minute complete redesign of the project in April of last year. And then the sidewalk that was designed for pedestrian accommodations for that project was started and then covered up by the village. The sidewalk will not be completed because the village hasn't figured out how to make a safe crossing to get to the Fox River Trail over there. So I request that Mr. Rafter put on the agenda a review of that project before the final several hundred thousand dollars is released to the developer. Thanks.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak on something that's not on this evening's agenda? Hearing none, we'll close public comment. And just note that Mr. O'Rourke won't be invited to speak at the next village board meeting. You've been warned. Sorry. Okay, we'll move on. Action item number 5. Action regarding adoption of Ordinance 2019-14, amending Sections 307-12, Enforcement 307-14, Findings 307-15 definitions and 307-16 notice of code, 307 nuisances, from November 5th. That's a mouthful. Any motion on this item? It's mainly making some changes to the ordinance. Instead of code and safety, we're changing it. We're getting rid of and safety to the code enforcement officer, giving that officer the ability to enforce our codes just as our DEO does. Trustee Green.
Move to adopt.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Sampson, any discussion? We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 6, action regarding contract with Fair Market Assessments to perform market adjustment reevaluation to be performed on all properties in the village. Do I have a motion on this item? Brad, do you want to say anything first?
Is this on duty?
It is not. There you go.
All right. We do have Mike Diener here tonight to maybe give a little more insight on what a market adjustment is versus a full reval. The village, over the course of the last 20-ish years, 1998, we did a full evaluation at a tune of $277,000. In 2006, another $160,000 was spent. 2013, $93,000, and the 93 was in just a market adjustment. And the proposal for starting in 2020 would be the market adjustment at a cost of $85,000. And it does take a rather lengthy time period. There's public, or public, if I'm not mistaken, maybe I'll let Mike take it from here.
Okay. Would the board like to hear from Mike? Come on up, Mike.
I think the reason to, and Mike can explain a little bit more, the purpose of doing this and why we need to first get scheduled.
Very good. Welcome, sir.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. We follow the assessment process has to be followed by state mandates, and one of them is that we have to stay within 90% of market value.
Could you bring the mic closer to you?
Sure can. Is that a little better?
Thank you.
Okay. All municipalities are required to keep the assessed values within 10% of market value. So once we fall below that threshold, and this year we're at 86%, we have to start looking at some way, some vehicle, some means to get our assessments in compliance. And one of them is a complete revaluation, which Brad had mentioned, where we walk through, view the interior of all homes and businesses we are allowed to do so. Property owners do have a right to refuse our entry. There's been recent state law, Supreme Court decisions that gives the property owner more leverage to not allow us in. I'll just put it that way.
Okay.
And what's getting to be more and more accepted is a market adjustment. Twofold, because of the lack of the ability to view the interior homes, and also the economics. A complete reval, as Brad mentioned, costs probably about 3 to 3.5, maybe 4 times as much as a market adjustment. With the market adjustment, we'll have our regular board review around June 2nd of 2020. Shortly after that, my office will start looking at the sales that occurred and continue on to re-establish our model. It's called mass appraisal, the value of the properties. And we create a model. With that model, we look at the sales and look and see what the changes are in the market, home built in 1970, three-bedroom home, 1,400 square foot, how that's changed in value versus a historical older home built turn of the century and 4,000 square feet. And try to look and see what those changes in value are and identify different neighborhoods or redefine new neighborhoods. And through the winter, we'll work on that and once we have a model established, then we take parcel by parcel by parcel and look at that value and create a new assessment on it. Once our project is completed, which would probably be sometime next July, July 2021 actually, so it'd be a year from now, a year and a half, then we send out notices to all the property owners of the new assessment. There's a minimum of 30 days open for open book where people can call us. We'll have meetings here as well. And then we'd have the 2021 board review probably in August of 2021. And the reason we're talking about it tonight is budgetary. The part of the payment, part of the, would be invoiced in 2020.
Okay. How much of the, when would the work start?
Late July, first part of August of 2020. Okay. So we have a board review in June, and about 6 weeks later, then we'd start working on the 2021 market adjustment.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Diener?
Could a typical property owner anticipate a not very significant change unless they've done some major remodeling or whatever? And is that kind of an assumption that people...
It's kind of an assumption, is fair to say. The net result of a revaluation, the village really doesn't receive any additional tax money from it. It's making sure it's fair and equitable. There is some redistribution where the market may be more aggressive for certain styles and areas of the village versus others. So some pay a little more. If somebody pays a little more, somebody else is paying a little less.
Would it be realistic to get an update about 6 months after you start, let's say January 2021, of just how you're progressing?
Anytime you want. Sure.
No. Okay. Thank you.
Anytime. I was just going to ask, maybe Brad, that's 5,500 improved properties. Is that, he's on the hook, or this contract is for all those? That's
yes.
85. It's about 5,500, correct?
Okay, thank you. It covers commercial and residential and all vacant lots. Everything that exclusive of manufacturing and exempt properties.
Okay. Any other questions for Mike? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So do we have a motion on this item? Trustee Genrich.
Move to approve.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Atwood. Any discussion?
Quick question.
Yes.
On the separate piece of paper that we received, I don't notice any differences between what was in the original packet other than the spelling of your name.
That's what it is.
Okay, just making sure there were no other changes. Thank you.
It was a test. Okay, we have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 7, action regarding Ordinance 2019-17, amending Article 1 of Code 432, Waste Management, from Public Works. Sean, do you want to
share? Sure. Go through the changes. The amendments made to the Waste Management Code are for two main reasons. The way that we dispose of the brush now and improvements that we're proposing at the Yardway site 2020. And real quick, I'll run through them. Under bulk waste, the volume of concrete debris that the village will collect has been defined, and that's limited to a 5-gallon bucket. Under major appliances, we've added gas and charcoal grills. We've added a definition for metal items, and there has been a recent change to what was discussed at the Public Works Committee meeting. We've struggled with the collection of metal items that are not permitted in a recycling car. Some cases we pick it up when we're out doing bulk. Metal that shouldn't go into a recycling car should be recycled at the transfer station or at an approved recycler. There are metals that shouldn't go in a car. And we just provided a definition for that. Street right-of-way, there's been some discussion of, okay, what is street right-of-way? A definition has been added along with the sketch. under major appliances. New next year, we will no longer accept major appliances at the LeBron Fairway site. Under brush, language has been added to address placement of brush during the non-collection week. If brush is placed during the non-collection week, the resident property owner will be warned. And if it's not removed within 48 hours, the builder will pick up the brush and the property owner will be charged. Under J, non-conforming collectible recyclable metal, we've addressed those metal items that should be placed in a recycling cart. They should be brought to a licensed recycler or to Brown County Solid Waste Transfer Station. Under preparation of brush, bulk waste, and yard waste, there was some information added defining how the brush should be placed. 4 feet away from any structure, and piles no larger than 8 feet long by 6 feet. I think for the most part, those are all the changes.
Okay. Thank you. Do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve.
Trustee Atwood, do I have a second? Trustee Green, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 8, action regarding ordinance 2019-16, amending 424-11B1, no parking zones, from the Public Works Committee. So this is pretty much adding the north side of St. Joseph from Riverside Drive east to Webster Avenue, except for the north side from a point approximately 175 feet east of Riverside Drive to a point of 300 feet east, beginning at the curb bump.
North and south side, with the exception of the parking in front of the old Chapel Hill apartment.
Okay. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Genrich.
Move to approve.
And a second. Trustee Sampson, any discussion? Hearing none, we have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 19, action regarding request from Langlade Elementary PTO to park on the north side of Broadview and on east and west Penwood Circle during their Party Gras fundraiser from 4 to 8 p.m. on March 5th, 2020. This is a reoccurring event every year. Jason, do we ever have any problems with it? Okay. Do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve.
Trustee Dirk, do I have a second? Trustee Green, any discussion? We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item number 10, ordinance 2019-15, amending sections 210-3, codes adopted, and 210-9, construction requirements of code 210, electrical standards. Kevin is not here tonight to go into the whys and wherefores, but it is really to bring us into compliance with state code, correct?
Correct. Because what we do is we have a contracted service that does the commercial inspection. I mean, our code needs to be in compliance with the state.
Okay.
And that's what we're doing.
And these changes bring us into compliance. Thank you. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Harris, any discussion? We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Before I go on to the next agenda item, is there anyone in the audience who wants to speak on something that's left on the agenda tonight? Or are you just here because you're bored on the Tuesday night? Okay. Well, if you do, raise your hand. Item number 11, action regarding scheduled public hearing for amendment to Article 3, District Regulations of Chapter 475 of the Village Ordinances, 475-14C2A,
side yards in A residence district from the Plan Commission last night. And basically what we're doing is it is saying every lot in A residence district shall have two side yards, one on each side of the principal structure. Neither such yard shall be less than 6 feet in width, and total width of such two side yards shall not be less than 14 feet. And we scratched the area, or the wording that says, provided further, however, that for any principal structure which exceeds 35 feet or two stories in height, or 60 feet in length or width, neither of such side yards shall be less than 10 feet. Do I have a motion on this item?
I'll move to approve.
Trustee Dart, do I have a second? Trustee Harris, any discussion?
We're scheduling, or the motion's to schedule a public hearing, right?
Thank you, yes. To schedule a hearing.
That's our motion for then.
Okay. Any discussion? We have a motion to schedule a hearing in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Number 12, action regarding schedule public hearing for conditional use petition from SKB Terrace, LLC, requesting a conditional use permit approval for 2 9-unit apartment buildings on parcel AL-125-8, Zone Commercial District, and located at 3241 and 3245 Riverside Drive, a.k.a. the former Town and Country Supper Club. Do I have a motion to schedule such hearing? Trustee Dart. Do you motion to?
I motion to schedule that hearing.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? We have a motion to schedule a hearing in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 13. Petition from GB Real Estate Investments requesting site plan and design review for a new commercial building at 1324 South Webster Avenue, which is the northwest corner of Derby Lane and Webster Avenue. Is there anything staff would like to share with us prior to?
Yeah, so this went before Plan Commission last night. As discussed with Plan Commission, there are some known environmental issues that are being sorted through on site. We expect to have a final phase two report in February of next year. The initial warnings don't show anything that is too alarming. The grading plan shown on the screen is different than what's in your packet. The stormwater pond was adjusted slightly to accommodate future development on the back part of the parcel. Plan shows a shared driveway off Derby and shared dumpster as well. And the developer had a public outreach meeting for the proposed development at the current business, which is located across the street on Webster Avenue, back in October. There were a few issues or questions, comments brought up. Most of them seemed to be addressed. A couple that were not addressed are related to the development, but not directly related to the decision here tonight. And they had to do with sidewalk and Derby and the intersection of Garland, Derby, and Webster being an issue. So that was discussed last night at Plan Commission, among a few other things, traffic just in general in the area, the plans for the intersection, the sidewalk, parking, all seem to be, I guess, pretty much addressed. The Plan Commission did recommend approval, and did also suggest to the board to maybe send the site plan to Public Works Committee for further review and comment to Brown County Highway Department regarding the intersection of Webster Avenue.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that last part?
Sure. The Planning Commission recommended approval of the site plan review, but then also suggested that the board send the site plan to the Public Works Committee to review the overall intersection of Garland, Derby, and Webster Avenue.
Okay, our public, or the Alloway Public.
Correct, right, yes.
But you mentioned Brown County. It's a county highway.
It's a county road, but they thought maybe a motion or something from Public Works Committee might spur the attention or of Brown County.
Got it.
Thank you, Department.
Yeah, because Derby and Garland don't line up, and the driveway is coming right out at Garland.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Any other questions for Trevor?
We do have the developer here as well as the business owners.
Oh.
Do you have any questions?
Or the business owners. Welcome. Who's the builder? Or the developer? Welcome. Do we have any questions for the business owners or the developer?
Sure, I'll follow up. That's a Brown County call. If that intersection is being determined to be so funky that they're hesitating to, ultimately, that's a Brown County call. Or we might make a recommendation or a request.
Yeah. At Webster Avenue is a county trunk highway. They have jurisdiction on that roadway, and yes, it would. We could. Make a recommendation. We can put together a conceptual plan with our thoughts for their consideration.
Currently, someone texted me this today. There's a sign directing you can only turn this way and that way at certain hours.
Right in, right out.
I never paid any attention to that before.
I didn't notice either.
That went up shortly after the quick trip open. That's a temporary measure.
Do we know if people follow it?
No.
You don't.
No.
I don't usually go that way, but probably I haven't followed it.
I live right near there and come past there quite a bit. Yeah, no.
So the sign evidently isn't working.
Okay, so we'll get back to the agenda item. Do I have a motion on this item?
Could we hear from?
Would you like to?
Yes, because they spoke last night, and I think that it would be good to hear from them.
Okay, do I have a motion to suspend the rules? Trustee Sampson, seconded by Trustee Dart. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Would you folks like to come up?
Sorry, since I was here last night, I had an injury. My wife beat me.
Oh. Tore your calf muscle?
That's not good. No.
Well, thanks for being here.
Good evening, everyone. Garrett Bader. So the development you see here tonight, Trevor, really hit most of the high points. It's relocating the facility that these folks run. 5,500 square foot building, single story, parking lot, shared access to a future development on the west side of the site, not yet determined exactly what that will be. In addition, Trevor talked about the driveway that we assume will be a right-in, right-out on the Webster at some point when that intersection is modified. Stormwater is included, shared for both properties, and otherwise, it's a pretty simple site. I'll defer to these guys to give you a little bit of background on their operation and what they're seeking.
Great, thank you.
I'm Robert Priest, my wife Keegan Priest. My wife opened this daycare. In this location, we actually took over in December of 2014, taking over what was just Battle Pushers at the time in 1309 South Webster. We grew the business a year later into 1303. Another year later, we grew it again into 1301. We realized how awkward the space is, and we've kind of dialed back. And we're sitting between the two buildings right now. We've got a great business. As we talked last night, we've got some periods of minor traffic where there's cars in the amount of maybe 10 to 15 at our highest peak volume. They'll drive through our parking lot somewhere between about 7:15 in the morning to 8, and then there'll be another peak time right around 4:15, 4:30, and that'll last till about 5 o'clock. So our peak busiest is really 10 to 15 cars. We're not adding any additional traffic onto Webster. We're already on the 1300 block as it is, so we would just be redirecting some of our traffic that's currently stopped. We talked about one big issue that we have that we contributed to last night is on McCormick, because we do service local schools, so Webster Elementary as well as any 4K students within Langlade or Aloe Leopold would get busing. And so for those that do, if there's any dwell time for the buses, for whatever reason, they may stop and they may take a moment to do a recheck, or we may wait for one of our staff, or after our staff, a lot of times we notice the bus just stays. They'll sit for 4 or 5 minutes. That's not very, very long. However, it causes traffic congestion for southbound drivers turning left onto McCormick, northbound drivers turning right onto McCormick, and anybody not really understanding that the WAM or Webster Avenue Market kind of creates its own four-way intersection there as well. So we create a huge mess already. So the addition of having a brand new building, not only just for the sake of consolidating buildings, but also to have one safe parking lot that we can use. Our parking lot's currently falling apart. It doesn't really accommodate us very well. This proposed parking lot would accommodate us as well as a school bus to be able to turn in and out this fall.
Very good.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Any questions? Saw the drawings. It looks nice.
Thank you.
No questions for these five folks? We thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take a motion to pick up the rules. Trustee Sampson, seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. So do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve.
Trustee Atwood moves to approve. Do I have a second?
I'll second, but I would like to add what the comment of the Plan Commission did last night with that, and have that forwarded to Public Works to study the traffic flow a little bit more.
Okay. Is that good?
I would agree.
Is that
yeah.
Okay. Okay, we have a motion to approve and pass on to Public Works and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Number 14, action regarding housing reports. A, housing affordability report. Trevor.
All right, so I did, these are two different items. I did include, sorry about
thanks,
that.
Folks.
I did include the second of the two reports before you, because state statute requires us to provide it. The first of the two, I'll just quickly go through, just in an effort to save paper, because if you want, I guess if you want a copy, happy to provide you. So basically, as the memo states, state statute or state enacted legislation in 2017, which requires us to do this housing report. And essentially, they want us to look at building permit fees we charge developments. As I said last time to the Plan Commission, I believe this legislation was really directed at communities that are growing a lot more than we are, as far as new developments, greenfield developments. I mentioned last night, I'm not naive. I believe that there are some communities throughout the state that might drag their feet with development. I don't believe that's the Village of Alloway, and I even state that in this report that we're required to do. But essentially, what the state was looking for any community over 10,000 people to do is an analysis of their permitting fees and processes, and come up with a solution to save the developer 20% on time and cost to development. So in addition to that, they also asked us to map out vacant parcels in the village, and I'll go through that as well. So the building permits, as you can see in the table on, well, I guess you don't have the report, but as you can see here, building permits for 2018 totaled around $17,000. And while that might seem like a lot, it really isn't much. That included 23 new residential development units, a 9-unit and a 12-unit from Chapel Hill, and a window from Old River Condominiums. When you break up what the actual cost to construct those units are, it's totals a little north of $2.5 million. So really, those permit fees make up about 0.5% of the total construction costs. So you can see that when a developer, or when the state's asking us to save 20% on a development cost, it's really challenging when our portion of the construction cost is only 0.5%. So again, I think I stated elsewhere in here that saving the developer 20% for our type of development, which is a lot of infill development, we don't have the efficiencies of cost of scale to save the developer, is challenging. As I mentioned, they also asked us to map out vacant parcels in the village. So did that as well. And came up with 57 parcels in the village, and about 63 acres of land. So of those 57 vacant residential parcels, 17 of them, or about 7 acres, include the condominiums across the street. So those are somewhat tied up at the moment in their own development. Another 13.6 acres includes DNR land, which is the land located directly across from GBCI, and about 24 parcels, or about 14.8 acres, are impacted by either floodplain, wetlands, they're owned by neighboring property owners, or they have some sort of environmental impact or undeveloped access to them. So that leaves us with 15 remaining parcels, or about 27 acres. This includes one significant parcel, the town and country site, down here, which is a little over 19 acres of land. So, again, as I mentioned, we don't have the large-scale development that other communities have, hard developments or infill, and I think we're making strides in that area, but when asked to save costs and time, there's really no room to improve, I guess. But then I did go through other factors that add cost to a development, such as high land cost per acre, high development costs, state and federal mandates and regulations. I mentioned last night to the Planning Commission, stormwater management, utility construction, building codes, those sort of things. You know, they, not trying to discredit them at all, they're all useful and they all protect the development, the building, safety, and the environmental impacts of the development to neighboring properties, but they do, the reality is that they do add cost. And a lot of times those requirements aren't set by the village. They're set by state and federal agencies. So, again, there's limited that we can do. And then, obviously, the other one is high construction costs. I think we all are aware of the different natural disasters, labor shortages, and different trade agreement disputes between foreign states. All kind of drive up construction costs and cost of material and that sort of thing. So I guess to reiterate, there's not much we can do, but there is things that we are doing. We are doing rewriting our zoning code, and that will, the intent of that will save developers time because it will streamline some of the processes that we currently go through. It'll identify more of what our goals are and be able to have a developer know that up front. And so, and also will provide flexibility to a developer. Another thing I mentioned was site improvement requirements. Things like our stormwater regional ponds are constructed to help save some developers time and money on constructing their own facilities. Let's see. Other site improvements, they go along with the zoning code, smaller setbacks, narrower lots, parking, that sort of thing, all can save money for a developer. Fees and land dedications, we really don't have any impact fees or anything like that. And from time to time, we do work with developers and assisting. And then final one, permit procedures. In 2015, we hired our own building inspector. And although he's part-time, he is here 5 days a week, whereas before we had someone that was here 2 days a week contracted out. So that does provide the developer a little more ease of access as far as inspections go and that sort of thing. As well, in 2015, we also created an online permitting process so the developer doesn't have to stop in the village hall and collect, take out a permit. They can do that all online. They can schedule an inspection online. So, again, there's things that we're doing. I don't believe there are things that would ultimately add up to 20% cost savings, but I guess for the purpose of this report, that's all we can do, I guess. So then going to item B here, it's really just kind of the specific permitting and fee structure. And again, I had to provide you a paper copy of this for state statute. And I'm not going to really go through a lot of it because a lot of it is what I just said regarding the new development and the permitting fees and making up 0.5% of the total construction cost.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we have to do this every year, so you know, get to hear this spiel every year.
Any questions for Trevor? Hearing none, I will accept a motion to accept these reports and place them on file.
Move to accept the report.
Trustee Sampson, do I have a second? Trustee Genrich?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item number 15, future agenda items. Is there anything my fellow trustees would like to see on a future agenda? Hearing none, I will accept the motion to convene into closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 1985-1E, deliberating or negotiating the purchasing of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session, potential real estate acquisition. Do I have a motion to that effect? So Trustee Genrich, seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Trustee Harris.
Aye.
Trustee Genrich.
Aye.
Trustee Atwood.
Aye.
President Rafter. Aye. Trustee Dart.
Aye.
Trustee Green.
Aye.
Trustee Sampson. We are in the close. Thank you.